Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Trask Told You. I am Trask Snell, your host. And as I'm looking at the camera, I realize I have not shaved in a few days. Not good. I'm not camera ready, folks. But, you know, that's what happens. The week happened. I just went to the beach and stuff like that. The kids were away and everything, so the, you know, nice date night and stuff like that. So, yes, we are back. It's a new week. It's a new dawn. It's a new age. I'm the pink lady, Trask. Now, I got the pink rocking right now for Olivia Newton-John. Big shout out to her. Obviously, rest in peace because she passed away today at the age of 73. And literally just Friday, we were listening to Grease soundtrack. Saturday, we were listening to the Grease soundtrack. As people know, I'm not a big musical guy, but I like the songs from Grease. I do. I think there's a couple good ones in there. So, big shout out to her. And I think I've seen a few of her other work, but obviously is like the big one and everything like that. So, I hope everyone is doing good this week. We don't have anything massively breaking yet, which is good, but we have a shit ton. Which is good. I guess the reason when I say which is good is just because I think of massively breaking now is like terrible news, you know, it like with Batgirl. I do want big news like Andor or casting, just not big news that's going to cause us to talk about movies being canceled or stuff like that. So hopefully nothing like that happens this week, just other good things. But we're gonna be talking about some Marvel, some DC, a whole plethora of stuff going on. I knew it, and it's fine because yesterday I ended up being busy because I said date night and everything like that. So had a good time. We went to the gym together, got some dinner together. We went to go see Nope for the second time. But I thought about it. I'm like, I should do, because I've committed to doing 4 days a week, right? But there's an occasional time I might do five. And I almost did five this week. And yesterday I was like, I should probably do some because I have enough news for a show. I didn't talk about Friday and there's some other stuff that came out. I should probably do them. But I'm like, no, especially with being the first one. I'm like, save some topics. You never know. You don't want to do them all on the Monday. You got nothing. And alas, there's tons of stuff. So there's tons of stuff at the Marvel, DC. They're all like quick hits, all like either little rumors or little news coming around. But we're going to talk about them all and everything like that. You can find all the links down below. I just got an interesting comment from somebody, which I will address on air. Nothing bad, just about some of the topics today. But I do this now for the next 4 weeks now, Monday to Thursday. Now, I can still be some shifts in the schedule now. I think for Thursday, because I see him in the chat, I probably am joining Marvel Alliance. A little secret there. So for two reasons, I think that show, I guess it's a Thursday. We'll see. Wednesday and Thursday might be earlier. Wednesday's probably just going to be earlier by a little bit because I forgot Star Wars Alliance goes live at 4 and I don't want to cross over into their time. And then I might put some time between. So always as the best thing, like we talk about every podcast, go to the social medias down below because that's when you get updates or changes or when a new episode's out, things like that. So that's always good. And down below in the links, you got a plethora of a bunch of other news, where to find us on social media, our Twitter, our Discord, Facebook, everything, our podcast feed, all our separate podcast feeds, the podcast network feed, just tons of things going on. There's tons of content coming out right now. So you can check out all the reviews we have too. Not a secret since we announced it already. Well, good thing. I remember saying I was pretty sure for it. So Chris, you bastard, announced it before. No, I haven't. I've meant to be on it the past few weeks, but it's just been busy with this. But yeah, that's what I think I'm going to be doing this week. So look out for any schedule changes with Trask Told You. But and next week I'll be doing the Sunday to the Thursday, I think, because I'm out of town on the Friday and things like that. So S. Bobs wasn't able to do Bolt Train this weekend, but I'm still excited to watch it. Well, thank you for reminding me. One, go see it, but thank you. We do have Star Wars Alliance is not live tomorrow, so look at that. I'm getting all personal. I'm getting literally my schedule update in the chat, so thank you to everyone there. But you check out our Bolt Train review, our Prey review, which is actually doing quite well, so big shout out to everyone checking out those. I'm going to be reviewing another movie that came out this weekend. We'll see. Donovan Martin, yes, we're going to be talking about this. Ezra is charged with burglary, which is such a funny and great picture, by the way, but just Ezra is charged with burglary, and that's just like the How to Train Your Dragon thumbnail. Such like a nice docile thing, and then the bad news with Ezra there. See Variety post a piece. It's in the show notes, so we're going to talk about in the DC portion. I don't have much to say. I talked about this with Chris. I said I don't have much to say other than what I've said many times in this cast before, right? You know, maybe we can start with that to just get it out of the way. I guess what other thing do I got to promote? After Nine's happened to Saturday in the morning, it's the 9 a.m. PST edition. That's going to be fun because we're going to respond to some of our significant others' comments and questions about us. And especially, too, I hope Maddie's on there because he was being a shit disturber asking, like, you know, what bad trades do we have? And no, it's a great episode. Go check out. Soon we will be doing a DC reboot one. So we don't know if DC reboot, but you know how we did, like, the MCU, planning the next 10 years? We're going to be doing that, but with DC. I don't know. It'll be 10 years, but it's going to be like, what would be our new slates? Who would be the new members of the Justice League? Who would cast us? Who would we cast them? So that's going to be tons of fun. And yeah, Patreon, ad-free, exclusive, early episodes. Depending on what tier, you can get up to 3 episodes. The Hobbit Retro just dropped today. Hobbit 1, which we recorded January 2019, is finally out. So on Patreon, sometimes you're getting tons of things like there. So yeah, and if you like what we do here, side quests, extra retros, that's the best way to support us. So yeah, we could talk about the Ezra thing off the top because I guess it's a breaking story because I have the Superman and Wonder. Well, you know, no, I better for editing purposes. The other guys are gonna mad at me. It's gonna be a cutout. If you don't know, what we do is with the podcast feed, you get your main episode. So if you like everything, just listen to it. But if you're like, oh, I'm only a Marvel guy, only DC guy, only Star Wars guy or gal, you get them all edited in like certain sections where you can just jump in and like take a look at them. You know, you don't have to listen to the whole show. Because sometimes people go, hey, I only listen to, you know, you guys for Marvel talk. I don't need the rest of it. So that's what the cutout's for. So we will save the Ezra thing, but maybe I'll talk about it right off the top. But so obviously the Batgirl thing is still we're still feeling the waves of that, right? We're still feeling the memes, we're still feeling the worrisome, and it's been good to talk to people, have a few days on. I still feel the same way I did as far as shouldn't have been canceled, should have found to make it work. But what's done is done, supposedly, right? And then so this weekend where this main story comes from is Eric Davis, who I get it. At the same time, he's just like, stay tuned to this feed. He's a reviewer. And it seems like a nice guy. And it was like, oh, 90 minutes. And it was like, DCU, hashtag DCU, hashtag DC, hashtag Batgirl. I thought the most it might be his interview. It ended up just being a Twitter space with him on Birdo. And it's like, okay, good way to kind of drop the ball for excitement there. But here's the thing. So Umberto, this is where the story's coming from. And I think one other story. Yeah, we're going to talk about J.J. Abrams and Constantine. That's where this is coming from. With Umberto, it's tough, right? Because it's so funny. When I started listening to Collider and Campion, Screen Junkies, one of the first movie fights I'd ever seen was Umberto on Movie Fights. And Van Wickless says the spaces was a waste of time. 100%. It was, I'm fine with like them saying, hey, we're going to talk about this. Yeah, take advantage of the news. We all did that, right? Like, Clay, you guys did an emergency episode. I did a few. I even wasn't even planning on the Vodka stream this week because I was just kind of busy, but I shifted some plans because I was like, okay, I want to talk to the guys about this one because this should be a fun topic. I get that, like, definitely, that's what we do in this, like, you know, little circle, right, is you talk about the big news as it happens. But the way of, like, the eye emoji stuff, like, the eye emojis I try only to remote when it's just, like, our stuff. Like, if people usually, okay, it's something Geek First related. I usually try not to, like, make it seem like we have a scoop, because I think we've only had, like, a few scoops in the world. And our very first scoop we ever had, I spoiled live on air, was about a Suicide Squad game was being made, because my sister knew somebody. But, yeah, so probably people won't tell me scoops, because I let them go. But anyways, remember, when I started watching, I watched Screen Junkies, and I liked him because, you know what, he seemed like a very nice gentleman, because some people get very animated, some people get a little too offensive or stuff like that, of like, whatever. And Movie Fights was a fun time in that back day, but I liked him enough. And then he was a big defender of the Snyder stuff, right? And then, you know, we go through years and years and everything like that, and it seems like he's definitely shifted. And I don't know if it's shifted because the people he gets scoops from, allegiances, are there. I don't know if it's because lots of the Snyder fans make fun of him and go after him. Whether it's, you should be making fun of people, but a lot of them were for some past scoops that were very much wrong, but he had said in the fore he was trying to, you know, work his way up, because I think he was part of Latino Reviews, I think it was, or something like that. So, and it's been tricky, right, because he's a guy that's in a lot of people's pockets, but he knows things, and that's always the thing you got to say with him, with the greats. You got to try to check that at the door. The same way some people are saying, well, Batgirl, oh, it's getting canceled, so just check your fandom at the door. You know, just look at the business standpoint. Same thing with these scoops as far as, like, Grace, unfortunately, you know, a very controversial figure, got some things right last week. Umberto, he's gotten things right before. And the thing was, even though lots of people had it, like the biggest one last time was Keaton. He posted Keaton first, right? So you can't look at everything Umberto says. And just because, if you don't like the guy, 100% say, fuck this guy. Yeah, that's fine. But as far as the scoops and whatnot, he's always what I put as like a B tier and everything like that. So he was doing this Twitter Spaces and everything. And it's interesting because Eric Days and him are talking about, and they talk about these two figures, right? They talk about Gal and they talk about Henry. Now, Henry we've talked about before, and I'm going to start with him because I feel like we've kind of covered this ground a little. Well, we've covered a lot, but just like some of these ideas as far as what's out there and what I've talked about and everything like that and what we've talked about. He was saying that right now, the current regime, obviously they need to hire apparently a head for DC Studios, right? So to me, it doesn't make much sense unless they're just kind of lying, because it's like, let's say someone hates Man of Steel. You hire them, say, hey, you want to bring Henry back? They're like, no, I don't want to distance myself from that. So, but it's a whole mess, right? Is that all going to happen? Probably not. But anyway, so he was saying that the current regime likes Henry. They've thought about, or at least talking. I don't know if it was a talking about bringing him back or had discussions about bringing him back. I don't know if that is internally or with him. But the quote that he says is that he is open to it. He's just waiting for the right time kind of slash right story. Now, two things I take from that. One, the most easiest amount is, or the easiest thing is the right amount of money. I still think that's it. We've talked about it before. We've heard things about sometimes DC's gone too low and he's gone too high. And it is an interesting spot to be put in, right? Because when they signed him, they probably signed him for a pretty cheap rate. Now he's The Witcher. He was in Mission Impossible. He has that spy film coming out next year. His star is just growing and growing. He's not like the fucking biggest megastar, but you're definitely going to, if he's going to come back, it's going to be for a lot more than what you got him. You know, and you should have not let him go. You should have signed a deal a lot quicker. But anyways, that happened. And by right story, I could agree to that to a little bit of like even putting the money aside, because some might say, oh, it's just the money. No, because it kind of tracks with, remember around the time of Shazam, speaking of Umberto, he did put out the scoop that Superman was supposed to be in Shazam. Later on, he did retract and say that was the plan, not happening anymore. And I from the ending of that film, from other things, I could believe that. And I think what happened was kind of what was reported, as far as they said, hey, we want you to be in Shazam. And he's probably like, great, awesome, down to play Superman. What's it setting up? And the rumor was, like, I'm not being verbatim, but the rumor was that, well, we don't know. Like, we don't know what it's setting up. It's like, we want you to be in this movie because it helps this movie, helps Shazam. And it's kind of, well, but what's next? Like, what is this going to lead to? Well, we don't know. And I don't know if that's a sign of they just don't know how to plan, if it was a sign of they didn't want to use Henry, because obviously Flash was being talked about, right? So maybe there was a time where they were like, yeah, like, we're going to reboot and get rid of Henry, but we'd still like use him while he's around, like Ben Affleck we're doing right now. Same thing. They could reboot and get rid of him, right? I don't think that's happening now based off rumors, but still, maybe like, maybe we shouldn't tell him yet. And I could believe that, as far as you just want me just to come in for a cameo. Now, if he wants the money, sure, he could accept it. And same thing with his time, too. But I could believe that with lack of – and maybe it's one of these things like, hey, come in for Shazam, and they give you a huge price tag. Then maybe he would have been like, okay, sure, I'll do it. But if it was – he wasn't really happy on the price, and if it was – we're not leading anywhere with this, what's the point? You know, so that I understand. It's going to be interesting. I think with the DC heads, I don't know. I always say that Henry has a chance to come back. To me, it's very interested, that quote of interested. Interesting that, you know, Zaslav said, well, I've seen Black Adam and it's good. He was talking about other films too, but we can make it better. Probably making it better would be that rumored Superman cameo, right, of it being a cut-off head or shadowed. If that happens again, my faith of Henry coming back is a little very less likely, because I feel like by now you should be figuring that out. Even if it's wrapped, you could film that. So, Henry, I still think there is a chance, but again, ask me in a few years like everything else, because if they all have the idea of rebooting, then obviously I would say no, there's no chance. But right now we're kind of swaying back and forth between the stick with what we're doing and change up a little, or the reboot. So if you're to say me, will Henry be back? Again, because I'm so 50-50 if they're rebooting or not, I'll say yes. I'll say yes, he will be back. I'll say yes that they'll find a way to make it work, because I don't know if we're getting that full reboot. But again, they could plan not to full reboot, and then these films bomb, and they're like, yeah, let's just get rid of it. So there's that. Then there's Gal. Gal, I've said this for a while. Same thing about the reboot. I believe 100% if they're rebooting, they'd be like, okay, let's get Aquaman out. Maybe we'll do another Wonder Woman 3. Like, we'll get to – my idea is, I think, like 2024, 2025, when we get announcement, things going in production of like a reboot, if that were to happen, right? And I do think we would get a Wonder Woman 3 sent off to the character. There's money there, and maybe Gal goes off. But I've said this before many times, that even if Patty were to walk, I think Gal would be around. And what Umberto was saying here is that, no, they like her. She's factored into the plans and the future, and they got things to do with her. And this kind of came out, I think he said, or he said something that a lot of other trades picked up on, or not trades, like scoopers, like the, you know, more the C-tier people, but people that have been right, especially this past week, as far as, well, you know, that makes sense because she's filmed some stuff. We don't know when, we don't know how much, but to me that also tracks. To me, the whole idea of, I thought even if Patty Jenkins walked, yes, she's connected to Patty, everything like that, but I think she would still do it. I think she's bigger than the character, not bigger than the character, but I mean like her being that character is bigger than Patty having to direct it. And I do think, not bigger than character, but I do think Gal Gadot is very synonymous with that character. Not as much as like a Downey with Iron Man or Wolverine with Hugh Jackman, other way around. But I think it is because she was the first. She's always the first theatrical live-action Wonder Woman, right? So I think it carries a weight, and a reboot will be kind of tough with that right off the bat because you'll get a lot of comparisons to Gal Gadot. It's going to happen with everything, but still, it's one of those harder ones to me. Where, to me, Henry is a little easier because we've had so many Superman, right? Batman's a little easier. Aquaman, that's also a bit harder too, because I feel like Aquaman, he's playing, Momoa's playing him as Momoa's Aquaman. So if you want that same vibe, that's tough. If you want to do an Arthur Curry that's close to the comic books or that look and feel, then I could see, okay, that's an easy reboot. But it kind of depends. You can't get anyone else to come in here to do Momoa other than Momoa. So, but I do believe that report. I think she'll do Wonder Woman 3. I think she will be around. And I also just think, unless a hard reboot, she would be around, because I feel she's getting some work. Like, and that sounds so bad, right? She's getting some work. Like, what is she? I think she's supposed to be in Snow White as the Evil Queen. I think that Cleopatra thing is not, I think it's happening, not happening anymore. It's in the whatever. What else is she doing right now? She did Red Notice, and I guess Red Notice too. She's working. She has stuff, but I get the feeling that she's smart enough to think that this is a franchise. Let me stick with it as long as I can. Whether Hemsworth means it because he loves the character, or he means it because he just wants the money and knows, hey, this only comes around once. He said that, right? But like, I'll play Thor as long as they want me to. I don't know if Gal Gadot is that, but I could see that. Like, I think that that tracks with what she would do. And as far as what she's filmed for, if she's already filmed cameos, not Batgirl. And if it was, then it's gone. What do we got on the docket right now? Shazam, Black Adam, Aquaman, Flash. Not Black Adam. Shazam could seem likely because the whole gods tie and everything like that. Now, honestly, there's a case that I could say that you could see both in Flash and Aquaman. I guess I would lean towards Flash because they're trying to make it like a crossover event, but easily you could have Diana just in some scene with Arthur talk. Maybe there, that would be great if, like, I think I'd seen concept art a couple weeks ago. I don't know if it's true, so don't quote me, but someone was saying that there was like a concept art of the ending of Aquaman, and the fight was still Aquaman and King Orm, but then in the background, like, Orm's armies were doing shit, but Justice League was like there to help. I thought that's a really cool idea, like them helping with a more minor threat. So I wouldn't mind that as far as them being one another, you know, maybe there's something and Diana helps them. They have a quick dialogue. But the fact that Ben Affleck or Michael Keaton, whichever one's in there, is already happening, I think they wouldn't overload. So Flash, that makes sense. I feel like that could just be a cameo. I don't, obviously don't think we'd be getting the evil, you know, world destroyer taking over Diana, even though that would be great. I think Gal Gadot would have killed doing something like that. I think that would have been fun. I'm not saying like Golden Geeks level, but I think it could have been really fun to play that alternate universe. So I would say Flash. I would say Aquaman's still on the table. And I would say, Shazam. Let's see. I'll read these comments first and take a drink, so it's not anything spoiler for these people. Okay, so S-Bubs is saying he swear he heard a rumor about one of these, you know. So, yeah, I think that's the problem. There's so many stuff that's come out over the past little while, but I think the one you're referring to, I won't say it on air just in case people don't want to know. I think that's one I've heard too as well. So we'll see. Only time will tell if we get these two. I think Gal Gadot is 100%. And also just because like her film, I think her film did Someone let me know in the chat. I feel like Wonder Woman did beat Man of Steel, right? Box office wise, I think. But either way, critically, fan reception, it was a big win for DC at a time where they really needed it. Whether you liked Squad and BVS, that's a whole different thing. There's a public perception of them kind of being, these films aren't the greatest. Wonder Woman came with a big hit. So I think she's safe. I think she'll be here for a while. And we'll talk about some other people that are not going to be here for a while after this next ad break. And we're back. So let's talk about the DC stuff, just to transition into it. To transition to talk about the Batgirl director. So obviously last week they had a bunch of Leslie Grace put out a statement. Really nice, really classy. Everyone's being classy. Everyone's being very nice. Again, their statements are more about each other and the fans, not so much the studio as far as like, understanding or we'll work together again. They don't seemingly have that same sentiment as the studio of, I can't wait to one day down the line. No. And it's been cool to see the stuff she's been posting, the director's been posting, and very kind of bummerish too, because the two biggest things we got, I guess even before the photos, what I should talk about, let's see. Yeah, Wonder Woman 2017 did almost 200 million more than Man of Steel. Okay, I thought so, but for some reason I was questioning it because I know Man of Steel had more like lackluster box office. Still a hit, but still like that's apparently what Warner Bros. Looked at it as. But what I should say about the Batgirl directors is they were saying that James Gunn reached out to them and Edgar Wright reached out to them, and then Kevin Feige. The Kevin Feige thing, I had very like mixed feelings on. Not Kevin Feige doing it, just the reaction to it, because it was super strange. There was a lot of like whataboutisms, and I get it. I'm 100% on it. So he put out this statement that's like, hey, I just want to reach out to you guys about the wedding. Congratulations on that, but I'm really sort of hear about Batgirl. We're proud of what you do, and especially with Ms. Marvel. Hope to see you soon. Hope you're doing well. Hope to see you soon. And I get it, right? I'm 100% in line with the whole Marvel and the FX team. And we don't know where that comes down to, right? With Chapek or Feige. But still, I agree with people that, like, Feige's the one that, if they need an entire third act change, that's likely Feige and the team. That's probably not Chapek. Like, I hope it's not them. So there's probably a crossover problems. But the whole thing of, like, there's so many quote tweets of, like, I hope he cares as much about his FX artists. I agree 100%. They need to be paid better. They need to work better. I know people say, the industry is known as a grind. It can change. They need to be paid better. They need to do better hours. Things like Marvel want a whole third act change in like 2 weeks. That shouldn't be happening. And I hope that, one, these reports make them change their ways. And two, just look at their fucking Phase 4 and some of the shit we've gone there. Looks bad. Looks really bad. Pip the Troll, the log truck from Moon Knight, the Miss Marvel skull, people turning into skulls, not good stuff. You know, like, they should probably know, okay, we got to slow down now. But people with those comments, it's just weird because I get about the Feige thing, but Feige didn't tweet this. I think I'd be more fine if Feige, like, tweeted this out and you're going after him. But these were the directors. They share this image on Instagram. They've had I would say career-wise, the worst week of their life. They made this film. They're about to release it. They made a film by fucking Michael Keaton and Batgirl in the DC universe. Got canned. You may never see a single clip of it again. And they got an email from the most successful producer in Hollywood right now, maybe of all time, and people just taking that chance to shit on. It's just like, let these guys have a fucking bone. Like, the Foggy FX thing, it's very much like, in most cases, not everyone's all good and not everyone's all bad. He can still be, and that's what people I think kind of took it as, like, he could still maybe, him and his company could still not be the greatest with FX. They could even be shitty with that, and they need to change that. Even if they don't even think they're being shitty, they got to change that. But he could still actually be caring about these people. He didn't tweet this out. He didn't post on his Instagram. They shared it. Now, would you say, he was doing that because maybe they would share it? Sure, but he didn't know that. They shared it. One, because I think it's just like they're trying to show that Hollywood's with them. Also, I do think they're sharing it because it's just kind of like, thank you, Kevin, because it's just like we're going to be coming back and doing more work with Kevin, because I do really think they will be going back to Marvel. I really do. Whether it is shooting more of Ms. Marvel Season 2 if that happens, maybe it is a separate project. I think it's going to happen. I don't know how much about the Leslie Grace thing, because Leslie Grace, I always feel like that's more the casting department, right? But unless they feel really strong of, hey, we want to bring this person over, I don't know. But SBUB says, sending a personal email to someone you work with isn't the same as a blanket statement about your company or something. And that's the thing where I'm fine with the FX thing. Drag them after. But it was just a weird time. It just felt like some people were kind of down on DC. So it was just like, let's take a shot at some, like, because the FX thing, and not that it's not true, but that's like the biggest thing people can take a shot at, right? Because whether it's box office or reviews or critics or fans, most of it is subjective. Actually, I guess the box office isn't, but the quality of stuff, we can come out with a bunch of MCU stuff and you can argue if it's good, bad, if it's the cookie cutter. But the FX thing is the new punch, right? Because for so many years, DC had so many punching bags, and the FX thing is the go-to because it is shitty. It is bad. But I was just like, I don't think this is the time. Like, it's just like, let these guys celebrate a win. They got this guy. And that to me is a good thing. This guy that's a big producer saying, can't wait to see you again. If my film just got canceled, one, the guy that didn't cancel my shit before, I'm happy he's contacted me. And two, the guy who's a part of the biggest franchise right now is contacting me again. Probably might mean I have some work also. They'll get work, but I mean, like, working clearly. They worked on Ms. Marvel and they did Batgirl. Clearly, they're fans of this genre, right? So the same way as James Gunn, when he got kicked away from Guardians of the Galaxy 3, what was it? I wanted him to do personal stuff, but no, he wanted to stick in the comic book genre. He went to do Suicide Squad. He went to do Peacemaker. It was just a weird thing. But do I think this is just even more fire that they bring them back to Marvel? Yes, because even then, they clearly like them. Ms. Marvel, I always... you know, want to say this to people, but Ms. Marvel is one of, if not their best reviewed MCU project. They were a part of that. Lots of people shout out their episodes as being the strongest. I definitely disagree on the finale, but I agree on the pilot. But the thing is, what a good PR stunt. Hey, you know those directors that got fucked over and their project taken away? They're back and they're doing this with us. And, oh, yeah, we love them. You're such a good guy. Like, that helps with perception, right? So even if it's just a Disney Plus show, which is still big, I think they will be back. I know some people are like, oh, bring them back and let them do Secret Wars, a big fuck you. At the end of the day, the company is still more about like making the right choice and not just giving a big fuck you to DC. Now, I think you can do both those things where you can make a right choice and a big fuck you to DC. And not even it's a fuck you to DC, because DC and Marvel 100% are correct where they need each other to do well, because most of the GI just looks at them as superhero films, not the brands. But for us fans, the PR move is to bring them back. And then it's like, yes, they come out and then they're going to talk about, oh, such a better experience, had a good time, all these things, you know, like, there's a run to be made there. So I think it will happen. I think it probably will happen next year, to be honest. If they were to do something at D23, that would be the fucking mic drop. Just like right away, like they're doing this. That would be great. I hope it does, because I want them to find some stuff. I want them to get another big franchise and not taken away from them. So we'll see. We'll see what Feige's doing. But what these directors are doing, they're dropping shit. Drawing pictures. Now, they released, like, I guess you could say the official first look at Keaton. It's a picture that someone else took, but still, it is. And these things just made me sad. It was a picture of Barbara, and then it was one of the directors, and then Michael Keaton there. I don't think the suit was fully finished, and I'm not going to buy into people saying, oh, the suits look cheap on the set during the movie. That's one of the reasons we canceled it. No, it's just, I think that's all fake shit. The reason that Batgirl suit looks cheap because it's supposed to. You know, and I think they're just using that as a reason. Like, oh, this just, like, they probably don't even know what fucking Burnside costume is. They look like, oh, look at this costume. This is the best they could do. This is outrageous. No, it's a choice. If that's actually it, even though I don't think it has anything to do with the quality of this canceling the show or movie. The only thing I did agree with, people are making the, like, Lara Croft comparisons, where Lara Croft in the first game, where her chest is very, like, rectangly. That was Keaton's. It was a big, his pecs were really far out there and very pointed, but I think that would have been fixed. But it was nice to see. The other thing that was cool to see, because, like, we haven't really seen that official one, so it was cool to see him in the suit. The other one that was really just depressing to me was, it was Babs, Jim Gordon, and some of her friends in the movie, and they're at Christmas. And I was like, man, I just so badly want to see a live action scene of Jim Gordon and Barbara Gordon at Christmas, celebrating Christmas. I don't care where it's filmed. And it's just like, that's where, again, talking about, maybe, sure, you could get a scene of people in Christmas. It's like so many times in BVS or Man of Steel or Justice League or even Aquaman, is there time to have a Christmas tree opening thing? But no, that's what you'd get with these smaller films, like a Birds of Prey, you know, like a Joker. And when I saw it, I was like, man, this is even more of a bummer. It's great that these photos are coming out, but it's also just a bummer of, like, I want to see that so bad. So I hope we do one day, even if it's kind of illegally. I hope we do see it one day. And yeah, we'll see. The other thing that Umbrella was talking about, the J.J. Abrams series is still in the work as far as Constantine. I don't know. Or sorry, no, this didn't come from the Umbrella thing. No, this came from a report Deadline put out the weekend of, like, The Dish and talking about stuff. I'll believe when I see it. JJ got signed to this, what, 2019, about 3 years ago now, maybe a little less than, but 3 years ago. because I think it was, if not, maybe it was 2020 after Rise of Skywalker, but around 3 years, he got $500 million. We've seen nothing else from him other than like ideas. Sure, but again, I just still feel like if you hire DC, not only do you want a bad robot, I feel like JJ directing, sure, a pilot is nice, but a movie, that's like the main fucking thing. Like a JJ Abrams DC movie sounded great. Again, because at one point it sounded like the Tinashe Coates thing was going to be about a black Superman. They said, oh, we're going to have black writers, black director, and stuff like that. I still think JJ, even though Rise of Skywalker was a massive misstep, I think JJ's just bred to do a Superman movie. I think he would be outstanding at it. But I think now politics have kind of changed that around. But I just think he would knock it out of the fucking park. I really do. I have still, if you were to ask me who's the number one person I want to do Superman, JJ. JJ, I've been saying for years, but I don't think it's going to happen in the show. All right, cool. The only thing that interests me about it is just JJ's doing a bit more like the horror slanted stuff when he was apparently working on the Justice League Dark stuff. Like, that's not what I would have expected from JJ. So we'll see. But apparently it's still in the work, you Constantine fan. So there was rumors it was maybe even casting and stuff like that. Again, it's tough because of my next project too, or next topic here. I don't know how, you know, what the budgets are and how much they really want to do for HBO Max. Because at one point, just then, like, oh, so much spinoff and films we can do from DC on HBO Max, where now it's just what will or will not. I know James Gunn again tweeted out that Peacemaker's safe. I believe it, but at the same time, it's just safe for now, you know. Idris Elba, he was doing press for Beast, a movie I will not see. I keep getting that preview all the time. That fucking song stuck in my head, though. It's fucking scary. I got goosebumps right now. The movie I doubt will be as scary as the song. Go watch the trailer. It'll be stuck in your head, too. But so he was doing an interview with Eric Davis, funny enough, and they said, hey, when are we going to see you Marvel or DC next? And I got to find the quote, because I know he said he's cooking something up, which sounds funny, but like, it was more like, I can't remember if he said cooking something up or just cooking something big up. Now I know you're going to, people are like, why the fuck does it matter? But still, like, there's a difference between cooking something up and cooking something big up, you know? But my whole point is, okay, that's great. Let's see. He's just working on a new DC project. Eric Davis, here we go. My thing is, again, with HBO Max stuff, is it going to happen? Let's see. This is where I want to clarify. He said he's got a really big thing cooking for DC right now. Let's hope it's not just fucking an audiobook, right? And the audiobooks are great, but it's just like, what is he cooking? 100% Thanos thumbnail, what is he cooking, S-Bubs? I would imagine something with Bloodsport, right? But here's the thing. Peacemaker, it happened. So maybe if I'm Zaslav, who's apparently this numbers guy, right? And he looked at Suicide Squad, and he might look at it, even though it was in that era, my hope is that he'd go, okay, it was in the era where we did the cross, you know, the day and date release. If we released in theaters, we would have made more. And Peacemaker was successful. I hope he just doesn't look at Suicide Squad and go, oh, that really underperformed, eh? Because then things like what I assume this is, an Idris Elba Bloodsport project, would go away. I think he would be done, or that project would be done, movie or HBO Max. And now, if it's not a movie, if it's HBO Max, again, I'm still less confident on it. Idris Elba has done TV lots of times before. It fits with James Gunn saying that he has, I think he said, like, three other DC projects that he was working on, aside from Peacemaker. I still thought one of those was a Harley Quinn one. That, who knows what's happening now with Joker 2. And Bloodsport, that makes sense. Idris is a big star. People like him. It's just the fact of, are those all still on the table? Does Zaslav or whoever they hire, like an Alan Horn, or obviously Alan Horn's hired, but I mean like as Alan Horn slash the DC Studios guy or gal that would be separate from Alan Horn, do they view that as a viable thing? Would they view a Bloodsport Idris Elba as a viable thing? I don't think so. So I hope whatever he is cooking, it comes up and it's actually real and we can see it and everything like that and it gets announced. I don't think we're having a fandom this year. I think that maybe would have been the place, but yeah, I don't know. I want to see. I like Bloodsport enough. I like Idris Elba. So I'm game. I'm really happy what he's done with Peacemaker, meaning James Gunn. So I would want to see it. I'd love it if he got to carve out his own little universe there and kept doing things. But everything's in flux, right? And that's the thing. Anything you could have been working on a few weeks ago or not. And that's why I'm sure creators are feeling the same way. But this was an interesting one. Zazie Beetz and talks to reprise her role for Sophie in Joker Fully Ado. I don't know. Who knows? But Espo says, give me Ratcatcher 2 and whatever Project Bloodsport is going to be in, then I'll be hyped. That'd be good. I would like it if it was a duo. I'm down if they do the one-offs, but if they did, like, you know, a couple characters together, I'm down for that. Now, a Suicide Squad sequel or the third squad? Do I think that could happen? I think that's over. I think that's... I obviously never say never, but if you were to ask me, do we see another film like that, I'd say no. I think they'll move on. But yeah, Zazie Beetz in talks to bring back for Joker here. Let's see. Google translate that title, Snail. Let's see. Which title? Henry Cavill and Gal Gadot TCC. Oh, maybe it's the one you're talking about. Yeah, I know it's like Madness for Two or something like that, but yeah, Filet Adieu, I always screw. I feel like the first time we did it, on Geekverse, I nailed it, and now I'm always unconfident. But I still wonder if it's going to keep that title for marketing. I really do, if it's, because I just feel like Madness for Two might just go up. I still think Mad Love is the prime one. But yeah, that's happening. Gaga confirmed it. Everyone's making this joke at her chromatic ball. She made, like, she's singing, there's a lyric that says Jokers, and she put a lot of emphasis on Jokers. Man, that concert. And apparently it's a concert, then you go into a ball, and people walk wearing costumes. I gotta get a fucking Lady Gaga costume. My God. Now I think Lady Gaga is like fucking top tier music too, for as far as pop and everything like that. But the concert, what people are doing, just being like fun and freaky, man, I gotta get there. So I can't wait to do that one day. But this is interesting, because there's two ways you can, I think there's three ways you can look at this. One is the one that everyone doesn't, not everyone, lots of people say, hey, I don't want Joker 2, because for me, Travis Snell, I should switch back. I look at that ending with Joker 2 when the car gets hit and he gets saved and the people raise him up on the car roof and he does the Joker smile. I look at that as real. And that's why I've always said you could do a Joker 2, because I feel like he could be a Charlie Manson type of character where he has followers. Yes, I do think this Joker could go up against the Batman. Why? Because he would have all these other people getting in Batman's way, fighting them. Joker's never the brawn, you know, unless sometimes he's ripped like an MMA fighter. But Joker, to me, should never be the brawn. So to me, it's like, oh, he has all these followers. This makes sense. But lots of people's pitch were, well, I don't want a sequel because in my mind, that part with the cop and his blood smell, that's in his head. And if we do Joker 2, it's going to confirm stuff that's in his head and isn't in his head. And to me now, with Zazie Beetz coming back, that's number one where it could do that. We had this whole thing where he thought he had a girlfriend, he didn't, and then they have that very disturbing scene, right, of, you know, I had a bad day, and he looks over that music, that dun, 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 and it's just, like, so good, that score, man. But the thing is, he leaves. We don't know what happens. After he leaves, I think when he's in his living room, there is a ambulance and police lights, right? So some people look at it as he could have killed her, he could have done worse, or maybe he just left. We don't know. The second you start to bring her back, like, for real, let's say he's on trial, or let's say she is, like, a person, like, hey, you were his neighbor, what did you think about him? You will start to reveal things about the first movie that you maybe didn't want to know. To me, I think they clearly laid out what's real and isn't real in the Joker. So many people go with the whole, like, oh, he ends up back at the hospital, you know, like, what is real? What did happen? There's elements of that film, but to me, clearly in Joker 2, when something is fake, they reveal it or they tip you off. Like when Joker's talking to Robert De Niro in the show at the very beginning, right away, he's like daydreaming and it's very over the top. And like the Zazie Beetz thing, they revealed that later on. So to me, that's the problem. What happened with her? That I don't know. And I don't know why she would need to come back. But like I said, maybe a character reference for a neighbor. The two other ways are just talking about, hey, I was in love once, even if he's replaying scenes, maybe there are new scenes about his time with Sophie. Or three, Sophie is also like in imagination, like because he's going to be, I think, seeing some things in here, hence the musical numbers. She might just come in a musical number or something like that. So I think there's lots of routes here to go with. I wouldn't mind if there was somewhat of a bigger role. I think I lean towards it being the real person or the figmentation. I think that would be kind of fun because Zazie Beetz is great. And between Joker and some other stuff recently, she's great, but she's in it for a small amount, right? So I'd be down, but this definitely surprised me. Definitely did not see this coming. And then, yes, because the chat brought up about it, you know, how can you not? Ezra Miller, well, let me read the exact quote, because I don't want to misquote anything. I don't want to say anything and everything like that. So the headline was Variety. And here's the thing. I will say there's been stuff before that's been reported where from Variety and stuff where it's like, hey, this looks really bad. And then there's been some people that said, hey, this is actually the real case. This is the story. There was one story that was going out that even someone took away later and said, that actually wasn't 100% true. I kind of made something up or got over-examined or got just bolstered up, right? That's the problem with the Ezra situation. Lots of the stuff that they are going through is tons of, I won't say hearsay, but the like he said, she said. I'm not talking about the pronouns, I'm just talking about like the people, or they said, you know, like you don't know. And there's definitely some stuff warranted to it. I'm the same way, where I am in both camps, where I do think Ezra needs help. I do think there's stuff going on with them. But at the same time, I think that there's something a bit more than I've always said this. I think there's part where they might just be an asshole, you know, and there's just still even stuff where I know the whole, like that was the excuse or the reasoning with that first Iceland video, right? Was like, oh, they were just playing around and then this joking happened. The video didn't show it, I guess. But then later on, that woman did come out and talk about it. And then I've just never been in a state where I've joked around. Now, I guess that's where drugs come in, or maybe alcohol, right? And that's where the problem comes in. But I've just never been a state where I've been joking around and I choke a woman and bring her down. And there's just other things that they've said in the past or they've done that's not even illegal that I go, I'm not a big fan. So I've said this already before, where what do they do? I don't know. I think it's just so funny when, I'll read the headline. I guess I should not bear lead. Flash star Ezra Miller charged with a felony burglary in Vermont. Let's see. Ezra Miller, the embattled star of Warner Brothers movie, has been charged with felony. Yeah. According to the police report, we're notified of the burglary complaint from a resident in Stamford at 5:55 on May 1st. So it's, let's see. Okay, so now I'm wondering. Okay, that's why I should read the whole rest of the story. But May 1st, police found that several bottles of alcohol were taken from the residence while the homeowners were not present. After collecting statements and looking at surveillance videos, police found that the probable cause to charge Miller with felony burglary into an unoccupied dwelling. Police located Miller on August 7th at 11:30 p.m. and issued a citation to appear in Vermont court September 26th. So Ryan saying, yo, bro, first time watching long time podcast listener from GB. Are you from GB like Green Bay? Let me know. Because if Green Bay, that's good. I need some more cheese heads here. But hey, thank you very much. I really appreciate you listening for all these years. Let me know when the first time you started listening too, because that happens all the time in these where, I don't get to tune in and obviously I'm doing a solo thing today, but I will pass it on. So thank you very much. But so again, that's the thing where this is like, is it bad behavior? Yes. Is it the end of the world that he stole they stole some liquor? No. I did look, I can't remember, Clay, if you're in the chat, you looked up like how much liquor you have to steal to get like a felony. As I've always said, it's a tricky issue for people saying they want to protect the DC brand and you have this person. Oh, okay, the UK, right? Okay. Damn, I was hoping Green Bay. Actually, why did I even say that? Because there's no place just called... there's a Green Bay pack. Okay, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Okay, I'm getting all mixed up. But Ryan, it's great to see you here. They're in a tricky situation. The movie's so $100 worth in Vermont. That's what it costs to get a felony. So it's just terrible news. No. Is it another just adding to the problems? Yes. Is it problematic behavior from them? Yes. Is it behavior that people always do this where there's a report and they say, oh, DC has no interest in working with them after this movie. And people are like, what other DC project? They're not announcing any DC projects. Ezra's, this is just it. It's just saying like, hey, fuckers, when we go to do anything with the Flash, we're not going to use Ezra, or we're just not going to use the Flash. It's pretty simple, but people always go, oh, I don't see them in any projects signed up. All right. It's like if I had a bad experience with a restaurant, I would say I'm not going back to that restaurant. They'd say, well, you didn't book a reservation. No, I just don't plan on going back at all. You know, so I still think that they'll be quiet. Again, for protecting the DC brand, it's a little hypothetical or critical. Again, also, I guess I'm wrong because they say, well, we mean the quality of the film. We don't give a shit about the real world. Okay, that's fine. I think Ezra is safe until they do something very, very bad. Very a proven assault, a proven, you know, very bad crime or drug usage. Until then, they're just going to chalk it up to someone having problems, which could be true, but... let's see if they stay quiet till Flash time. So let's take another ad break, and then we're going to jump to the other side with Marvel. We got some good news, and we got some bad news. So we will be right back. And we're back. So let's start with the good news. That's always a, you know, oh, people looks like they're getting Daredevil or She-Hulk screener, so that's good. They got a lot of run times right now while I'm looking for our first thing this year. They got a lot of run time out there for She-Hulk right now. I'm not trying to say She-Hulk or Daredevil accidentally because I'm more excited for it, but just still... apparently there's one episode, I think it's episode 2, that's like 28 minutes, and that's with credits. So they were right when they said, hey, we are, it's a 30-minute comedy. Now, if you look at most TV shows, 30-minute comedies are 22 minutes. I would expect that from this show, like 22 minutes with commercials and everything like that. But let's start with the good news. And this is news that like I'm happy with because it looks good, but at the same time, I'll get into it. Daredevil. So it happened on the weekend randomly, and it's happened again. There's been a better look of Daredevil's yellow costume. Now, I will say, why are they changing it? I guess I should share the screen, blah. Why are they changing it? Just to Marvel, you know, just to Marvelize and stuff like that. Rayon says, I can't believe they're doing 9 episodes, though. Yeah, but I guarantee if you were to put them together, they'd probably be the same length as the 6-episode run. Because if you have 2 episodes, that's like one's 22 and one's 30, that'd be like one 50-minute episode, right? So I think that's why they're doing it. Even WandaVision, they said at one point they didn't know the episode count. So they released on the weekend, then some more. The yellow costume for Daredevil. This image I like a lot more. The first one, and it is still pretty much that, but the first one just looked like, okay, the helmet's yellow. And I know other stuff was, but the look of the pants and everything like that, I'm digging the yellow shades there. Now, if you're asking me, hey, Travis, would you prefer this over the red one? No. Would you prefer this over the black one? No. I'm saying I'm digging what they're putting down here. I hope eventually we just get back to pure red. The yellow to me, and again, even with yellow and red, I'm surprised where, you know, we're getting close to Iron Man there a little bit. So I thought they might actually pull back. And I'm interested to see how long he has this costume for. So what they're presenting, I like it. Still like the red better. That's also just because, like, I hate yellow. Yellow is the color of mustard and piss. Like, and I guess what is helping is the pants and the arms. It's the helmet that's a bit more of that bright yellow. The pants and the arms look a bit more toned down. They almost look like... Now, here's the thing. Wolverine's yellow, that's maybe the only yellow I kind of jive with. But even then, like, I'm a big fan of, like, the brown and tan one and stuff like that, too. So I'm liking it. It looks cool. I'm just happy they're showing it a lot. How much is going to be the episode? You have to wait until later on this week because we're going to be doing our She-Hulk episode predictions on GV, was it 509? So, yeah, we're going to talk about that. But the image you're showing isn't real. It's an edit of a figure. Oh, man, S-Bubs. That's, is it? Well, that explains why I'm liking it a lot more. Look at that. Oh, no, Summer Hansi's in the chat. She just saw it. This is the first time I'm seeing it. It looks incredible. Can't wait. Well, Summer, I just lied to you. But I will find the actual. I'll stop sharing so I don't share someone else's. Let me find the actual one. Damn. So now I feel like I'm back to liking it a little less because that first look of it. Yeah, here we go. Okay, I'll get it because it's so shiny. I failed the city, by the way. So there you go. And I swear many times it's been shared around and stuff like that is real, but here we go. So I'll bring up the other one. This is of the head. And so, yeah. Sorry, Summer Hands just says, no, yeah, my bad. So this is the one, though. Yeah, so see, I want to see this one in motion because then I saw this. I was like, okay, it's yellow. Still wish it was red. Like the costume. Not really loving the helmet. Very shiny. I don't know. Just kind of looks like a mixed match. But then when I saw that other image that apparently is just an action figure, I was like, oh, thank God I do this show live. I was like, this is looking a lot better. I can jive with this. Maybe it will look like that. But we'll wait and see. And then the other one. Now, this has been proven to be like just a fan art of it or a fan design. But is MODOK. MODOK. So there's stuff going around that MODOK is in Ant-Man. I think it's already confirmed, right, that MODOK is in Ant-Man. He was in the teaser. But what happens is let's see. Summer Hansi says, goddamn, not nearly as good. Yeah, 100%. That's what I thought, right, when I saw him, like, this looks fine. Then when I saw the other image, I was so sold. So this is an image of MODOK. Now, this is, to be clear, not the real image. For the audio listeners, his whole body is gold. He looks very similar, like he's floating in the chair and stuff like that. He has the eyes that could shoot. Well, he doesn't have eyes. He has like the head thing he can shoot lasers from. But his whole face is gold. This is not what this is not the look, but this is apparently like close to what the look's gonna be. This was rumored a while back ago that MODOK's gonna look like he does, except he's gonna be all gold in the face. And now we'd seen a trailer where I feel like you can see, like, I think people said, like, you can see a little bit of it. We're gonna get that full like HD reveal unless they're hiding it for the actual movie. But I'm of two minds. I get why they're not gonna do the big, you know, fishbowl face. It is very distracting. You'd be cheesy. I know people were sharing like the George Lopez and Spy Kids 3. I don't think it would be as bad as that. I think they would spruce it up. But at the same time, I get why they're not going to go that route. I think you could get that route in a What If. I get why it's not for the big screen. It's an adaptation, stuff like that. Let's see. It was a fan art, but the image got out of hand at the point where people said this was drawn by someone who's at all age. Very impressive. But the reports are, from what I've heard it as described, this was even before the trailer, it does sound very similar to this. So I'm for it. Would I want a big head in there? Sure, but I'd have to see the design too, because I still think MODOK is one of those where it's like, yeah, this is very cheesy. That's Marvel at its cheesiest, right? So we'll see. And then the other thing, talking about, here's three things back in a row of like could be true, could not be true. Rosario Dawson, right? She's at C2, E2, I think is what it's called. She starts talking about, oh, so Punisher, I heard that's, you know, coming, that's being revived and everything like that. I'm very excited because I got to be in all those other shows, but I didn't get to be in Punisher, and I love John Bernthal. Can't wait to work for him. And then she went out a statement and she said something about, oh, like, I guess I should pull up the actual, who cares? She pretty much just walks it back and just be like, oh, I don't know anything. It's just from what I'm hearing on the interweb and stuff like that, right? I do actually believe, so I feel like I'm a 50-50 on this, because when she went, oh, I can't wait to work with him again, I do think she's been talked about coming back. I do think just in Marvel in general, because she's around the halls of Disney and stuff like that, I think that's come up of, hey, we're going to do Daredevil, would you like to come back and stuff like that? Because I think Daredevil, you're going to see a lot of those people. And I got a topic idea for that in the future about Daredevil, of kind of breaking down like characters and storylines we could see, because I feel like just even like seeing Bullseye, you know, like I don't think it'd be time to get in the Thunderbolts, but fuck, that'd be awesome. And I think there's lots of potential to see. I would love to see Bullseye in the MCU, but, or Agent Point Dexter, whatever we want to call him. But I think this is a 50-50 rumor. I think that she has been talked about coming back to Marvel because she just seems so excited to work with him. But I don't think that, I think it is this, people get announced all the time. Like Patton Oswalt, remember last week, he's like, yeah, they just announced Eternals 2, right? And he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure Chloe's doing that. With rumors, Twitter, online, that she might just saw something on a website, something while scrolling, oh, that's really cool. Because so many times people phrase it as, like, look at the way, I talked about this last time with Moon Knight, and that went out, right, where the director came back, said, oh, there's no talks for season two, it's not happening, just some fun. But everybody was going around saying, confirm, confirm, confirm. Now, I think I at least put a question mark, and luckily Moon Knight wasn't a headliner, but still, I think I at least even put a question mark on, you know, Moon Knight season two happening. And if I didn't, then I'm part of the problem. But that happens, right, where it gets conflated, and we go, oh, it's confirmed, and you see a bunch of headlines that say Moon Knight 2 confirmed, Moon Knight 2 confirmed, and you just go, oh, must be confirmed. And in actuality, it's not. Same thing here. So I think it's a 50-50. If they do the show, would she be in it? I don't know. But I don't think she actually has the insight or anything like that. Pam McClay says, I don't really blame her because she's like Kevin Smith. She's in Hollywood. She's a nerd. And she hears what we hear. Yeah, and there's so many times where Kevin Smith even, I haven't listened to Fat Man Batman in months, actually. I can't remember. I think the last time I tuned in was for the Batman review, and because, yeah, they didn't like the movie. That's not the reason why I stopped tuning in. I'm not being that fan. I'm like, oh, I don't like what they're saying. I didn't love their review because it was very strange of, like, they're especially, Kevin is sometimes pretty high, and I don't blame him, but there's weird things where Mark Bernardin is just saying, like, I don't think they would ever do this with Batman. And then there's, like, established writers that have done similar arcs or things with the character. And it was really about the character being hopeful and stuff like that. And there's just things outright where you can say, I don't like this version of it, but just being like, it's never happened. It's the same thing like The Killing, right? I can go, I don't like The Killing. But it was so, like, matter of fact of talking about it. It felt very odd. And I was surprised how hard he went, actually, on the Batman kind of being negative when he was, like, he supposedly was supposed to be working on Batman Cape Crusader with Reeves producing, which who knows if that even happened. So I think that if I could listen to more podcasts, I still would listen to them. I guess I just I liked it a bit more when they are just in the studio. The live aspect works and stuff like that, but it's it feels like they're sometimes a little less engaged in the news and more just like having fun, which is absolutely sometimes what we do here, right? But I guess it's just that it's the show shifted over time, and like some other shows, I'm sure people listen to Geek First Times that shifted, maybe they went out. But if I had a pod, like had time to podcast, I definitely would still be listening to. I would more be listening to Babylon and stuff like that, like some other Kevin Smith ones, but I definitely would be listening to Fat Man Batman if I had the time. But now when I have the time, let's say I do, it's still lower down on the list and stuff like that. So what the hell is next? So Punisher, I still think it's, I think it's happening based on the rumors before, but I don't think it's happening because it's Rosario, you know? So, and then finally, Midnight Sun's Delight indefinitely. Now they did say to 2023. At first it was indefinitely, I guess just 2023 indefinitely. This sucks because I was just talking about this when we did the Black Panther like little cutout for Side Quest about Dylan was very confident. He sold me as far as like, oh, they're really far along. They're showing lots of clips. And I was not keeping up to date, like character gameplay. So I don't know what happened in between a few weeks ago and now. Obviously this happens with games a lot. It's not the worst thing for my life because I was not digging the Gotham Knights, Marvel Suns being 2 weeks apart, one for review purposes and one for life purposes. No, not. And fall is one of our, fall's always one of our biggest time. Like, you know, there's a few weeks where we're going to have, these are the like kind of half to's, right? We're going to have Lord of the Rings coming out. We're going to have House of Dragon, which I don't know if I'm on, but just for the podcast in general, Lord of the Rings, House of Dragon, She-Hulk, Andor, and a couple movies in between, and a newscast all in 1 week. And even those TV shows, that's four massive big IP TV shows happening. So I'm not hurting at that. There's still some things I want to do. I still maybe want to do a replay of God of War before the second one, but I haven't decided if I'm getting that. Now I might actually get it if Hogwarts comes out. So there's a lot of things I'm not sad about that way. It does suck because I'm very curious about the game. I am curious why it's being delayed. I wonder if they're kind of changing some things up and everything like that. Not getting rid of the cards exactly, but just changing some things to make it sell better, or maybe it's just not working. But I thought it was a kind of ace in the hole to happen from people, especially Dylan, and it just, no, it's gone. So that's a bummer. But luckily, I'd rather take Midnight Suns being delayed than Gotham Knights. Even though Gotham Knights might end up being an Avengers type of clone, I'm more excited about Gotham Knights. So, yeah, we're going to take another ad break, and then we're going to talk about some more quick hits. But we're going to talk about them. We're talking about Tom Cruise, some box office, and a show I'm really intrigued by. So we'll be right back. And we're back. So the quick hits, what is this segment for? It's just, we kind of did that with Marvel and DC, where it's a little bit of a bunch of news. I have a little add-on, but not to have a whole topic on. The first one, so this came out today from, I think it was Deadline, put out that Tom Cruise is working on three pictures right now with Christopher McQuarrie, which makes sense. I think McQuarrie produced Top Gun, right? Or he did like a passover on it. It was something like they were working on it and then was like, hey, I want my guy to come in. He's the guy. Like, he's Tom's guy. And that's great. They work together well. Some people say those are the best Mission Impossible ones. It's funny enough that I still would put four and especially three above his ones, but those others, like Fall, everything, they're making great fucking movies together. So absolutely work with them together as much as they could. But they announced three films here. One was a thriller. I wanted to start with the thriller because he, a couple of weeks ago, said he was trying to, and maybe, was it described as an action thriller? If it's described as action thriller, I'm still excited. I'm a little less excited, but I feel like that's how you have to sell Tom. Like, oh, it's this, it's weird. Because a few weeks ago, he was like, I'm pitching Tom on something. Oh, maybe it was the musical as well. I guess it could be anything. But anyways, he said that I have something that's not in the realm of what Tom like does or ever does or ever has done. It's something a bit more weird, something. And I think he was even talking about kind of like an A24-ish, like weirder films. I'm not saying it would be like that, but just something different. So yeah, it was an action thriller. So now I think it might be the more, you know, song and style. It's called a song and dance style musical. So maybe it's that, which I'm completely down for as far as, and now it's so funny, Joker 2, this, like down for a musical. But if it's a musical that's fucking a bit more weirder, absolutely, because it's stuff where we talked about this Eyes Wide Shut retrospective earlier this year. We've talked about it a few times where I love Tom Cruise as the action guy. And actually, Top Gun, I think, gives him a bit more opportunity than Mission Impossible does. Yes, they're different characters, but I do miss Tom Cruise when he is just acting his fucking ass off. whatever you think about him personally, whatever you think about his beliefs, whatever you think about him kind of imposing them in the past on people, he's a movie star and a damn good actor. And I even think he's kind of like Brad Pitt, where I say he's underrated and people go, what do you mean? He's a massive star. People don't, they just look at the movie star, the action guy. Go look at fucking Magnolia. Go look at Collateral. My God, Collateral. Look at Jerry Maguire. He's so much more than just the action guy, which he got painted into after Mission Impossible. So these projects, action thriller, that to me just is like, okay, after Mission Impossible, we need something else. I hope it is a bit more on the acting side. And that's why Top Gun I preferred to some of the Mission Impossibles as of late, because I prefer the Tom in there. The movies, I'd probably still watch those Mission Impossible movies, even though Top Gun is great. But Tom, I love seeing him act. So the musical dance one, I think that's a chance where we get to see some of that. You know, we get to see him kind of stretch those muscles. And I hope we do. I hope we get shades of that Tom back. The action franchise just feels like, okay, Mission Impossible is going to be done. He has to do action. This is what it could be. Even with it being a thriller, I hope it is something a little bit different. I still think Top Gun could turn into a franchise as well. So, you got that. And then the other thing was a project focused on Les Grossman. Now, it was unknown. They even poured this as far as it just sounds like they want to do something with Thomas Les Grossman again. It was unreported if it was him in a supporting role, him in a project that had that character, or him as the main character. I don't know if anyone remembers this. They did this. It was around the time that he did the J-Lo dance. It's a great moment for the MTV Movie Awards where he dressed up as Les Grossman and they're doing this dance and J-Lo's like fucking shaking her ass on him and he's like spanking her. And it was just one of these things where it's like, oh my God, like what am I watching here? But it was just like, you couldn't believe it. And I've always said Tropic Thunder was the smartest move Tom Cruise ever did in his career. Not Mission Impossible, not being the like, welcome back to the movies guy, not, you know, a Good Will Hunting or no, a Few Good Men, not Good Will Hunting. That's a different cast. Not all these movies that made him iconic. Or even Top Gun. I can maybe argue that Top Gun Maverick takes that spot over. I think I could now. But at the time, it was the smartest move in his career because he was coming off being one of the most disliked people in Hollywood. That was after the Brooke Shields shit. That was after everything with Scientology. He made fun of jumping on the couch. He was a joke. He was a meme before there was memes going around. But what happened was he got kind of this reputation to be like a stuck-up asshole. But once you saw him play Les Grossman, that went away, even if it's true. And I think there's some of that where he chose that on purpose. Like, let's do this role. I'm going to sink my teeth into it and I'll change the narrative. Because when you look at Les Grossman, you go, oh, this is a guy that gets it. He'd have fun. And look how funny he is. Look what Tom's doing here. Like, oh, this is a gas. It right away took the kind of pompous, you know, very, and I'm not saying he is, maybe he is. There's some things definitely he said in the past, especially about post-traumatic stress syndrome and with Brooke Shields, I do not agree with. And I do think there's signs of that, but sometimes you just go, is that someone that's not educated? Is that someone just being, you know, having a bad day? Or is that someone that has just walked back their statement and said, learned more? Or is it someone just lying and they say, oh yeah, we're friends now. And we made it, we shook hands. It's like, yeah, now you're just kind of saying that. Right. But with Tom, it was smart because it's very similar to, I don't want to get political, but Donald Trump, he had that run where he came out and did a bunch of stuff with the press and he got condemned for it, right? They did a bunch of talk shows and they did SNL and it humanized the fuck out of him and that helped a lot of people vote for him. And Les Grossman humanized the fuck out of Tom Cruise because if they could laugh with Tom Cruise, and it wasn't laugh at because he was in on the joke, he was peering at other places as Les Grossman, we could laugh with Tom again and we'd push that stuff aside. And that's where it's kind of been forgotten, right? But I think it was smart. You don't need him in a full project. I think supporting character, fine. I think that's the max. If it's a cameo smaller character, oh, absolutely. Main character, they had announced back to the J-Lo cast that they were doing this a long time ago, a spinoff with Les Grossman. Everyone was like, how can this work? I think that's too much of that character. It's the same way they were smart where, and as much as I loved him and loved the movie, forgetting Sarah Marshall, they spun off Al the Snow, right? Al the Snow, very funny character, but he was unlikable. He was a prick. He was an asshole. But they're smart that they sent in the movie around him and another character. I think that's what you could do. You could do a get him to the grief style thing with Les Grossman, with Tom and somebody. That's, I think, the route you go. And I would love to see it. I think I would love to see Tom doing that again. It was a fun character. I think there's even more you can do today with Hollywood. If you do the same thing and get him to the Greek, but Hollywood version, absolutely. I'm all game. So I hope that happens. Speaking of, this is just a quick mention before we get into box office and about Hollywood. There is Sam Mendes is working on a show for HBO. They ordered a comedy pilot from the creator Veep. It's titled The Franchise. It follows a hopeful crew trapped inside the dysfunctional, non-sexual, joyous hellscape of franchise superhero movie making. Sam Mendes will direct. This is a film, or this is a show, and I think it's just he's going to direct the pilot. This is one that's going to open up tons of people's eyes to what's going on. So when we talk about the volume, and we talk about bad CGI, and we talk about how actors are, like the Illuminati, filmed but not actually there, when we talk about the Snyder Cut, some people still probably think the Snyder Cut is just a director's cut. They're like, oh, that's cool they put that on HBO. I can't wait. I'll watch it. Sure, I'm bored. They probably don't know anything about it. The way what I think the show should be is, if anyone's watched The Boys, the way The Boys did The Dawn of the Seven, it was kind of based off the Snyder Cut stuff, and it was, they were making a movie about that, and they were showing some inside things about rewrites and everything. That's what this should be. This should 100% have an episode about FX artists. Now, here's the thing. I'm not trying to say make fun of them, but do where it is comedic, but bring to light some of the issues. And even if there is just issues as far as like an actor working with green screen, it's like, I can't fucking do this. Like, even if it's someone that has a massive ego, I'm not saying you have to take down that. Or even if it's something like, let's say in a movie, they're writing something, they lose the rights to a character. Like, what do we do? Or there's like a recast, or like the Ezra stuff. There's like controversies. I'm not saying the show has to be completely, let's take down the fucking superhero movies and show the complete bad side. No, I just think there's lots of material from both ways to show the workings around it, the CGI, the green screen, the schedules, or just the bad stuff as far as what has happened, or the rushing, or how it's deemed as like not cinema, right? Like, there's so much stuff there where I even think this hopeful crew could, like, or the, you know, false hopeful crew trapped inside dysfunctional set, that could even be a show about Zack Snyder's Justice League. They could be inspired by that, right? So I think this is a great idea. I hope this happens. Sam Mendes is a great pick. He picked, obviously he's directed lots of great stuff, but he also directed the pilot for 6 Feet Under, which is perfect. That show really caught my eye. So I'm looking really forward to that if that happens. Hopefully fucking Zasloff doesn't cut that. And then the last one's box office rundown. Always doing this on the Mondays. Bullet Train opened with $30 million. That was good. That was higher than I was expecting. I was worried to be like in a 15, 20. I think it's like, I don't know what the worldwide is, because I think it did 30 kind of worldwide and everything like that. The budget's 90. A lot higher than I thought it was going to be. Now, here's the difference. We talked about $90 million budget Batgirl all last week, right? That, to me, I think could have cleared the 90 and then really the 180 of it, right? That's what you need to do. Now, I would say for marketing, I don't think this would have got the same push Batgirl did, and I didn't feel like I was being indicted with fucking Bullet Train trailers. So I don't know if the budget was exactly double, or it was just a double and that's it. That's going to be tough. I don't know if it's going to make like a 180. I think it could make its budget back, but at least I see it here and I go, well, won the weekend, made $30 million. Go see the fucking movie. Really good. Again, want people to see this as much as they can. I love Bullet Train. Check out our spoilers review. That was tons of fun. So I was happy to see it get the win here. Because this week, I think nothing too crazy comes out. I know Body Body Bodies comes out and some other little stuff, but I think it could have like another little run. I hope it gets a good word of mouth and it keeps help. Oh, so Dylan says, I feel like I was getting pelted by Bullet Train trailers. Probably the trailer I've seen the most of any movie this year. Oh, that's interesting. So the two, or maybe the three, Morbius was the first one. Morbius was attached to every fucking movie known to man. Of course, it's Sony. The other one is The Beast. The Beast I keep getting, the Idris Elba one. I get that everywhere. I got Bullet Train a few times, but that's fair enough, because I still never even saw that second trailer that Kirkland and Dylan, they reviewed. I never saw that. So luckily, I guess maybe it's just my showings or where I was. But so we'll have to see what marketing is like for... which we won't know. They'll just see it's a success or not. I don't know if they even would do a sequel to Bullet Train. I hope it's like John Wick. I hope we get a bunch of things. Now, John Wick is an example. Like, the first John Wick, right? That has some stars in there. Let's take a look at this. John Wick budget. Because it's the same type of team. I was wrong. Like, David Leitch worked on them. Chad Skahelski is the one doing Ghost of Tsushima, not David Leitch. I said that on the review, so it's completely wrong. I've only gone Beast once. Really? Okay. And then Samara Hansi, I agree. I've been seeing Bullet Train trailer like crazy since February. I've gone every single time without fail. So I've just been lucky. I'm trying to think. I've definitely got it with the Sony movies. Oh, I'm trying to think what else, but No, I think no, and especially I'm wondering what trailer you guys got, if it was the first or the second, but I guess I'm lucky. Wherever my theaters were, they maybe weren't getting it, and they're like, fuck, we're not showing Bullet Train. But let's see. So John Wick, because I'm just trying to compare, like, if we get a franchise of Bullet Train, what it could be. See, that was a budget of 20 to 30 million. Now this, you got Brad Pitt, a bigger cast. David Leitch has done more, so you get, you know, a little bit more juice as far as, oh, he's done Deadpool 2 and he's done Hobbs and Shaw. But even then, like, you look at the box office for John Wick, 20, 30 million budget, 86 million box office. So even if it was 30 million, you double that 60, you're getting 26 plus million additional profit. I think this movie is going to end in that like 90-100 million range. And that's where I don't think it's going to be much of a profit. And I don't think we'll get any more. I don't need more. It's a good standalone, but also I would just kill to see Ladybug and more adventures and everything like that. So I'm really hoping it happens because that John Wick thing going on. Let's see. And when watching Dominion, I got like 10-second black phone trailer, which was weird. I was just a kid picking up the phone and the title. They're like Super Bowl spots. We want to get it on Super Bowl, but something really cheap, like really small. That's what black phone did to your Dominion preview. I think you might be right about Dominion. I might, because I feel like I got it earlier in the summer and then it really trailed off. But there you go. Lots of people got it. So maybe the marketing was high and that's not great. And I want more, but I don't know if we will. But I'm just excited to watch it again at some point because me and Emily got to see Nope. She hadn't seen that. She really enjoyed that. So I'm hoping to go see Bullet Train with her at some point because I just think I could watch that movie over and over. So, and then, yeah, and then Minions just killing it. Super Pets is doing what Super Pets is doing. They made like 8 or 12 million. Like, it's doing fine, but nothing crazy. Minions, I think, was almost like 800 million or something. So, again, that's kind of going against the whole family movie stuff. So, yeah, it's that's about it for the box office. I don't know how Body Body Bodies is going to do this week, but apparently in the theaters it had, it only had like a few screens. It did really well. So there's some box office people saying this could be like a nice sleeper hit. And I'm going to be seeing it. There'll be a review of that. I'm excited. I think there's going to be a review this week for Body Body Bodies and The Day Shift on Netflix. I think Kirkland and Taylor might be joining me for that. And then Body Body Bodies, just saying that over. I think that will be a solo one. But I'm looking forward to that. It's 8:24. I'm always interested in what they do. So speaking about things I'm interested they're doing, let's transition into our next topic. Going to take no, we didn't need to take another break. Let's talk about a movie. And, you know, I'm just going to get right on Front Street. As usual, I will give you – well, first I'm going to take a water break. But as usual, for this film, I'll give you non-spoilers. So people, if you have this on at work or you're just listening to it, you can keep it on for the first little bit. You can turn it off. But I will say, you could keep it on for spoilers because I'm not going to employ you to see this movie because this is probably my most disappointing film of the year. I've not letterboxed it yet, but it has to be low down there. They, them. Yeah, I'm coming right out of the gate with it. So this is, and the pitch was great. This is about a conversion camp, and I got to find out. There's a movie I wanted to compare it to, but it's a conversion camp for people that are gay or trans, and it's to kind of go against what their lifestyle is, what they believe in, right? And the thing is, they get sent to a summer camp. There's a bunch of counselors. They're going to convert them, but there's a killer on the loose, and it's taking people out. Let's see. They/Them, all-time banger title, though. Great title. Great concept, great setup. And it's funny because I remember, I think it was maybe Big Screen Leaks, who's like a leaker, was talking about like, oh, I've heard good things about this. So the movie is that, where a bunch of characters get sent and Kevin Bacon returning to a campsite after he got fucking pierced on Friday the 13th, the first one, where that was his debut. And there was so much about this. I loved this idea of whether it was the campers or the counselors getting killed of this conversion camp. And right away, you're going to have some sort of reasoning for maybe the killer to do something, whether it's a bad reason as far as getting rid of these students because they don't agree with their lifestyle choices, or the reverse of a student lashing at them, right? And even the opening, I'll spoil like the first 15 minutes of the movie, but it's fair, you've seen the trailers, and that's what it is, right? Conversion camp, these kids, counselors, killed on the loose. There's one kill very early on, and my biggest probably complaint is if you're expecting a slasher, it is not that. It is trying to be that. You get one kill, you get a few, and I mean a few sprinkled throughout, and they're very small. And then maybe just the last 10, 15 minutes is a thriller. They pretty much keep majority of the characters alive to the very end. And it's a very odd choice. Now, what I will say, and this is to go for the actors and actresses and everyone in between, that the concept is good. And there's a lot of, I think, newer actors in this. It's not anything to do with them. I'm not looking at this going, oh, this would have been great, but we need more talent here. I think it was great that they actually went out and got gay actors, trans actors. We don't see that enough. You see, also in the past, lots of characters were just a regular person playing that. I think it is good to highlight that. And I think it is good to have people showing different lifestyles and things like that. And it felt more genuine in the movie. And there's one moment in the middle of the film that had so much human emotion. It was a mini spoiler. It's, I don't know if it's a full title of the song. It's Pink, the perfect one. It's like pretty, pretty, please. So I'm not being perfect and stuff like that. They have this moment where they've had a down day, right? But they all sing it and kind of harmonize. Really great. And it had like, man, I'm starting to like, okay, I could maybe like this. But the whole movie is cathartic. It's slow. It feels like there's no human emotion. And I don't think it's because, oh, these are some newer actors and actresses. I think it's the script gives you nothing. This feels like an episode. This feels like it's a 6 to 9 episode show, and this is the YouTube highlight reel. And it's not even that good. Not even that good. It's tough because it's one of those movies you see a concept in there. You see where this could have really worked. And with the first 15 minutes, what's great, and this is where I'll give a minor spoiler example. you saw tons of people hating that song scene. Okay. Is it cheesy? Yes. They all know the exact lyrics to this, but it just felt like for a moment there was some life brought into it, because it's a lot of just them meeting with counselors and talking. And just it's just one scene of them. If here's the thing. If you're not going to do the movie about the slasher, because I think what they're doing is trying to be clever, that bring you in the slasher, and I feel like they're trying to trick some people of, you know, people might not watch this film with this content, you know, because whether if they don't agree with it or they just feel uncomfortable about it or they don't know where they go, let's market it as a slasher, get them in, and then we'll teach them. Then you got to make that shit good. Then you got to make the teaching stuff good. I think there's some moments in there, but it really dragged on. It really just, to me, felt like really baseline, whether it was the insults toward the characters or just the, it felt very Family Channel, Disney Channel, like, this is my path. Like the dialogue that these people were given, just, oh, it was tough. It was tough. So I don't actually blame them at all. It's not a case where, oh, it's horror, it's low budget. Like I've always said this. 100% why I try not to go hard on actors. When Geek First makes her movie, we have to act in, right? We got no one else. We got a few people. There's a few people actually know that are actors that are willing to be in it. But for the most part, we're going to be in it. We have shades. You can look at Gaunt. I think we all have shades if we can act in some situations. We're not going to be given Oscar A-caliber 10 out of 10 performances. So when it's lower budget and horror, I'm always like, you're doing what you can. For me, the con is not them. For most of them, I think there's some actors and actresses that were, okay, they're not the greatest. But for most of them, they didn't bring it down. And what happens was the first 15 minutes was a good setup. They get there, and it's Kevin Bacon. I love Kevin Bacon. Like, it's just Hollywood treasure, right? And he is used fine. It looked like he was going to be used great. He was used fine. They did not need to, like, they paid money to get his name on there. But if I got Kevin Bacon, like, I'm going to use this guy as much as I can. There's a few scenes where I feel like he gets to act, but most of them just feel like he's just kind of there being a generic kind of bad guy. Because what happens is they bring them all in, right? And he starts with the speech about, I'm not here to change you. I don't understand. I'm not here to change you. You are the way you are. And it pretty much just sounds, and he says, like, this weekend is just about discovering who you are. So it's almost saying, like, hey, I'm gonna show you in the mirror, right? And if you, after this weekend or excursion, feel you're still gay or want to be trans, then that's the route you're going to go. And that's how I agree with you. And this is why you're there. Because he even starts with, like, a lot of you are here because your parents want you to be here, right? And you don't want to be here. He's super understanding. He's super cool with it. At one point, what happens is there's the girls' cabin and the boys' cabin. And then there's one person that is a they. They're non-binary. And he completely just goes, hey, I get it. Thanks for being open with me. We unfortunately don't have an all center. We need to do that. Could you stick with the boys for now? And if it doesn't work, you can go to the girls. And now, I know you're going to be like, well, that's what you do in all these horror movies, is you start them off nice and turn them bad. The problem is you're supposed to do the general building about, like, he's so overly nice, where I thought, oh, he's going to be, what I thought was going to happen was he's going to be the good counselor. The people around him are going to be shitty and people are going to go to him. But then at the end of the day, they're going to reveal that, you know, maybe he is the killer. and the other people are good. I'm not going to tell you what happened, but I thought, okay, this is what they're setting up. Even with the previews, I thought, okay, but he was so overly nice and not even to reveal who the killer is, whatnot. What they go with him is he talks about, you know, welcome, everything like that. We do need a, like, so nice. The next scene, he's a complete fucking asshole. He's just, like, it seems like it was like a reshoot, and I don't think it was. It just seems like they, or they cut some scenes of that natural progression of, I get it. A lot of kids here don't want to be in this conversion camp. They come in, but he's going to ease them. And then when they get in there, he gets to do terrible shit. And he does. He makes them do some bad shit. I won't get into it. I think I even got to do the spoilers of the whole movie. I'll get into some stuff, but I'll get into some loose stuff. I don't need a whole spoilers portion here. I'll just tell you some themes that they maybe tackle on, but I won't tell you if you want to watch it. But again, I would not, here's my thing. I would not recommend this as far as like a rating. I don't know. This is, it wouldn't be my lowest because I saw what they're going for. They're trying. The slashing stuff sucks. That's always the thing I take a look to is like, same thing. We're going to have a small budget, but one of our films is slashers. Like, at least make the kill somewhat memorable or the scene somewhat memorable. And there's one scene where it's literally just a guy's on the computer, looks, killer's over his shoulder, head in the screen, walks away. It's like, all right. There's one kill in here. There's one kill where, and this is a minor spoiler, I won't tell you who or when, there's a room, hunting, trophies. Someone has like a rhino head mounted, they kill with the rhino horn. That was cool. That was the first thing I was like, oh, something I haven't seen before. Rest of the film was all generic kills you've seen before. And that's where it's like, at least spruce that up. At least give it like some really cool stuff. But so I get the idea of you bring him in, then when you start doing this terrible shit, you turn on him and, oh, you've been mad this whole time. Literally right away, he's just being an asshole and making them do terrible things, doing terrible things to them, to the point where even if they're going to try it where he's doing some bad stuff, I wish they maybe went back and forth of sometimes he's nice, sometimes he's an asshole, and you can't get a read on him, right? He's not. He just gets a generic bad guy, and Kevin Bacon's good at that. He can be good at being a dick and everything like that. I just thought they could have done even more with that then, and I just thought even the turn just make it happen a little, like a little smoother. It just like took a hard right, because what happened was there was someone that was hiding that they were transitioning, and they didn't tell them about that. But at the beginning, and that's this whole thing, you didn't tell me, at least Jordan was honest with me. But at the beginning, it kind of just sounded like, oh, I'm fine with whatever you do. So it was strange. The killer reveal was fine, but it kind of handcuffed them to what they wanted to do. And that's where it's like, okay, if you want to take some of the slasher stuff out, you got to make that stuff in the middle good. And it's just things you've seen before where there's like all the other counselors are people that have been converted. So there's one, like, it feels like a scary movie. There's like a scary movie, like the parody. There's one scene where this lady's, she's making a pie, and it's all about, there's lots of euphemism going on, and it's just like eye rolling. And she's like, you want to taste some of my pie? Let's taste together. And she's dropping all, oh, it's so warm. She's like dropping all these sexual innuendos, right? And there's like a moment where like she puts a pie in the girl's finger and like licks. I was like, what am I watching? This is stuff where there's kernels of like good ideas. This was some that you could use, but it just is like it's for shock, and then they move on. They don't tackle much with that character, getting that counselor. It really disappointing, because I was hoping this was going to be a sleeper hit maybe, but I can definitely see why I put this on Peacock. If people have been paid for this, man, that cinema score would have been low. So this is, I don't think it's in my bottom, but it's probably bottom five this year. And yeah, very disappointed. Can't recommend they them, not even for like a good, like, at least even if there's some good kills, I could tell you that. Not even if there's a good Kevin Bacon performance, I could tell you that. Apparently people don't like the song things and everything like that, so it's more of a sleeper than a sleeper hit. Yeah, it's more of a, you could definitely fall asleep, you could definitely put on and fall asleep, because there's just some scenes where there's talking going on, but it just doesn't feel, There's a lot of characters. So if you want to deep dive into one, doesn't feel like we get to do that, because we got to tackle this one and this one. And it's only about an hour 40. So yeah, a big disappointment. But hopefully Body, Body, Bodies is not that next week. That's the kind of the next horror I'm seeing. So yeah, that about does it for Travis Told You. I will be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. PST. We'll see what happens. We're going to be, I know Pickens is not in the chat, but we're going to be talking about Triple H's first week at WWE. Now, I was going to do that today, but Raw's tonight, so let's get another Raw in there. But already, last week I didn't talk about on SmackDown, Karrion Kross is back. The women's team titles are coming back. Man, there's rooms. I think we're in Cleveland tonight, so maybe we got Gargano. Even then, there's lots of good stuff happening. So Triple H is just, he's fucking killing it. I'm excited. It's like, here's a little inside scoop. I don't have exactly the hosts. I don't know if I have the time, but so badly do I want to do a wrestling-centered podcast because there's just so much good stuff. And that's why, like, man, I just love that. I had one corporation that was giving me what I want. Now my OG, my first love is back, and they've maybe actually changed. And it's just like, oh, so much good stuff is happening right now in the world of wrestling. So I'm just passionate about it. I can't wait. So tomorrow we're going to talk about the gimmick, you know, the gimmick segment. We'll be back. We'll talk about the first week of Triple H and Power, see if any Gargano returns happen tonight or anybody else. And again, thank you everyone in the chat. Thank you everyone that listens after. When you hear from me tomorrow, I promise you it'll not be boring.